Amen. Take your Bibles back to Exodus, the book of Exodus, Exodus 32. Exodus chapter 32. And let's look at our text. You can obviously guess the text, verse 26. And then Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, "Who is on the Lord's side?" I want to talk to you about the Lord's side this morning. The Lord's side, that's the title of the message, taken from verse 26. Who is on the Lord's side? Father, I pray you bless the preaching. I do thank you so much for the folks that have come and they set their clocks right and got here. And Lord, it's no accident that we're here today. We need you. We need your help. We need you to speak to our hearts. And so I pray you'll do that now. Use the message, use your word, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Familiar story here, a passage that we have looked at many times as we study our Bibles. And Moses, of course, is off receiving the commandments from the Lord. He's doing exactly what God told him to do. And so he's receiving the commandments from God. And the people have waited and waited and waited, and they become impatient. And as they become impatient, by the way, we can get in a lot of trouble when we become impatient. You know what? I mean, seriously, we're no different than them. When we think God's, you know, our prayer and God's answer is on our time schedule, when we think this has to happen the way we said, we get impatient. We get in a lot of trouble. We marry wrong when we get impatient. We buy wrong when we get impatient. We invest wrong when we get impatient. A lot of bad things happen when we get in. We get out of the will of God quickly when we get impatient. Well, here, the people, because of their impatience, the people said, "Oh, you know, where's Moses? And we can't believe he's gone this long." And so they decided on their own that, God must not be real. We need to figure out some other gods. We need to, when we get impatient, we start thinking, where are you, God? What happened, God? He's God. Amen. It's amazing how we'll go to God and say, "Oh, God, why haven't you done this?" And you forgot what you just said. He's God. Let him be God. Sometimes it's not on our timetable. And so they get impatient, and the Bible says they made some false gods. They made their own gods. And they said in verse 1, "Up, make us gods," notice the small g gods, "which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not is what is become of him." And so they become impatient. They want these false gods. And when they started worshiping the false gods, they got in big trouble. I mean, they stripped off their clothes and started singing wicked songs and worshiping the false gods and having a wrong lifestyle and what a mess. And then Moses returns. God told him, "There's wickedness in the camp. They're worshiping the wrong god." By the way, when you worship the wrong god, you have the wrong lifestyle. Automatically, it just goes together, and so it leads Moses to. Again, Moses, you have to understand, he's been with God. He's walked with God. He's spent time with God. And to have to go back into all that wickedness, you know. Those that walk with God and spend time with God, it is so frustrating to look around at a bunch of wickedness, you know. And Moses is not happy. And he asks the question, who is on the Lord's side? This morning, I want to just talk about that, the Lord's side. I just sang a song about the Lord's side. We win. That's the winning side, amen? But I want to give you seven things about the Lord's side this morning that I think will help us understand that there really is a Lord's side. It's not, when Moses asked that question, it wasn't obvious. Well, wait a minute, these are all God's people. Come on, this is God's people. These are the children of Israel. They're all God's. No. Moses said, "I want to know who's on the Lord's side. I want to know who's on the Lord's side." And so let's just look at the Lord's side this morning. Number one, I want you to see it is unmistakable. The Lord's side is unmistakable. Verse 26, you'll notice he says this. He says, "Then Moses stood in the gate of the camp." He's in the gate. Everybody's listening. And he said, "Who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me. It's unmistakable side, all right? It's not something that people would have to scratch their heads and say, well, I wonder what he means by that. Yeah, I just wonder what is the Lord? No, it was unmistakable. He said, here's how we're going to, you come to me. It's almost as if he drew a line, right? It's almost like he said, all right, all you people, and you got to imagine, you know, we got people that are drunk and they're naked and they're involved in all kinds of perversion and wickedness and sin. And everybody's staring at Moses, and it's almost like he draws a line there and said, all right, who's on the Lord's side? It's here. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? I mean, honestly, what if we did that this morning? I often wonder what would happen if we did that in a church service. You know, people would kind of look around. Why would you have to look around? Why would you have to try to figure it out? I mean, honestly, it is here it's very clear. The Lord's side is unmistakable. It's kind of like sports teams, you know? They have their colors. We had Spirit Week at our school, and our colors are blue and white. And we had one of the days was Blue and White Day, and what's that mean? Well, that's the sports color, and you like certain teams, and you wear your colors. You go to a game and you wear their colors. You look around at a home game, for example, of a college team, and if it's a home game, I mean, you look out in the crowd, and they're going to be in those colors. I mean, you would not go to Michigan State and to one of their games and see a Michigan State fan wearing maize and blue. That doesn't happen. All right, that guy is going to be in trouble. Now, you might have a Michigan fan. They're still out there. There's a few of them still, but you don't. You just don't do that. You know, you don't go to a Michigan game and see somebody wearing, what is it, scarlet and what's Ohio State? Red and white or red and gray or, you know, whatever it is. That doesn't happen. See, it's unmistakable. Military uniforms, you know, that means something. It means something. I remember having my little army men when I was younger, and you know, we had gray for the Germans and we had green for the Americans. You know, that was back before they had imagination; they could make them whatever color. But gray, you know, you had bad guys were gray, and of course nowadays you could never do that. I mean, that's not political. Oh, don't insult anybody. You know, just because they attacked and killed a bunch of people, don't insult them. You know. Nowadays, see, we don't even want to say anything. I would never amen. Somebody's listening, you know. But anyway, you know, the flags, you know, our flag. It's that's one side. That's the United States. And I understand there's some people on this flag side that we kind of wonder about sometimes. But we distinguish the side. Understand, God's side is unmistakable. So many today want to, you know, try to blend everything together. There is, with the Lord's side, there's no blending of religions. Don't get quiet on me. There is no blending of religions. I'm including Baptist in that. The Lord's side is not we just need to all get along. That is so opposite of the Lord's side. It is unmistakably the Lord's side, and let's put an exclamation point at the cross of Jesus Christ when he said, "I am the way." There isn't any other. Amen. I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. It's unmistakable. It's by the Lord Jesus Christ. There isn't any other way. It's like a line is drawn at the cross, the Lord's side. It is unmistakable. You know, folks get all upset. Well, you know, you have to tolerate ISIS. No, I don't. No, I don't have to tolerate as far as which side. I don't have to tolerate anything that is opposed to Jesus or that is not for Jesus. Are you listening? He said, if you're not for me, you're against me. It doesn't matter who it is. Doesn't matter what it is. It could be some sweet little old lady. If she says, I'm not for Jesus, then she's against Jesus. That's why we're trying to win people to Jesus. Amen. That's why we're running buses out here to try to win little children to Jesus before they become big people. And they're not for Jesus. But you have to understand, it is unmistakable. We hear people all the time, well, you just have to try to understand the ISIS and all these people. Can you imagine in World War II, we just have to try to understand the Japanese when they bombed Pearl Harbor. You just have to try to understand. Really? What part do I need? Well, they aren't feeling well. I'll tell you what, when we dropped the bombs, they didn't feel too hot either. You know, I mean, come on. It's two sides. There's the Lord's side, and then there's everything else. Hello? Amen. Amen. Jesus said, if you're not for me, you're against me. There's no in-between. I'm so tired of coddling everybody and trying to touchy-feely, feel good about anybody and everybody and everything. It's not that Doug Rogers is right. It's not that Berean Baptist Church is right. It's not that, oh, we're right and everybody's wrong. It's he's right and everybody else is wrong. And his side is unmistakable. There's a line drawn. There's a gulf between hell and heaven, and it's not going to be breached by any kind of human methods at all. It is unmistakable. Number two, it is unwavering. By the way, this kind of preaching, the world hates. This kind of preaching, the world, it doesn't tolerate. And I'm going to be honest with you, most churches have caved in. They have caved in. It is unwavering. Notice chapter 32, verse 1. I'm going to just keep preaching. It is unwavering. Watch this. And it's so good. This is so good. When the people saw that Moses delayed, okay, they got impatient. He delayed to come down out of the mount. The people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, up, make us. Notice what they're making. Small g, but also plural. Gods. That's, if man could have his way, that's what he would have. Gods. You know, a god for this and a god for that. That's what he would have. Why? Because he wants to do his own thing. That's why. Because man is prone to wander, and because there is a way that seemeth right to a man, but the end thereof, according to God, are the ways of death. And man has always wanted his own little small g gods, plural. But you know, the Lord's side is unwavering. It doesn't waver with this God, that God, this God, whatever today's God is, you know, a God a day, right? You know, whatever your mood is, you know, or whatever the circumstances, whatever the temperature, whatever. No, God is God. He's God. It is unwavering. In verse 4, here's what they said. And he received them at their hand and fashioned it with a graving tool after he had made it a molten calf. And here's what they said. They said, these be thy gods. Right? You know what he said? He said, I am the Lord. I am the Lord. Amen. Unwavering. You know, we live in a pick-a-flavor world. You know, there's a flavor for everything. I mean, we're inventing flavors. You know, and you ought to be able to just, you know, it's the old song. Hold the pickle, hold the lettuce, special orders, don't upset us. All we ask is that you let us serve it your way. Amen. You say, how do you remember that? I don't know, because I ate a lot of it back then. That's all I can figure. Yeah, there's some of you going, I remember that too. Your guts are growling, right? But you know, it's like, I want to pick whatever I want. You know, it's pick a God. Small g. But you know, God's, the Lord's side is unwavering. It's not here today, gone tomorrow. It's not dependent upon the weather. It's not dependent upon circumstances. It's not dependent on what's going on in the Middle East. He made the Middle East. It's not dependent on the climate. Oh, you know, global warming. Our God doesn't, he's not even paying attention to Al Gore. He doesn't care. He laughs about all that. He laughs about it as we shiver, as Boston gets the most snow they've ever gotten. and somebody says it's global warming, you're an idiot. And God in heaven he just laughs about all that. It doesn't bother him. Well, yeah, but we got to have our own little. No, what we need to do is understand there is a side that is an unwavering side, a side that doesn't fluctuate, a side that is stable as a rock. It doesn't move with the climate. It doesn't move with what's going on in our world. It controls. His side controls what goes on. Well, see, I'd like a God on this day. I'd like, you know, I need a different God now that I'm old. I need a more loving, kind, patient, understanding God than when I was younger and stronger. Look, we're trying to find a God that fits us. And that's just a small g God. That's exactly what they were looking for, a God that fit them. We have gods. We need different gods. You know, a God that fits me, depending on how I feel or what's going on. In Malachi 3, verse 6, so clear. God says, "For I am the Lord. I change not." Unwavering. The Lord's side is on. Hey, you know, with God, you know what you're getting all the time. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Some of you are going to smile eventually or frown the whole time. I am the Lord. I change not. And by the way, those two words describe him over and over in Scripture. You know what they are? I am. Couldn't be a better description. He's always been. He always is. And he always will be. I am. Not I was. I am. I am. I always will be. I am. I change not. I am what I am. I am what I've always been. I am what I will always be. I am. He's unwavering. That's the Lord's side. The Lord's side, it's the same today as it was 5,000 years ago. Same side. What Moses said to the people there, because we're just like them. Amen. What he said is, who's on the Lord's side? Same question. You have to understand it's unwavering. We have a whole bunch of folks that haven't figured that out. A whole bunch of folks used to believe it and they've gone away from it. It is, number one, unmistakable. Number two, it is unwavering. But number three, it is unattractive. It is unattractive. Verse 32, or chapter 32 and verse 1, you'll notice it says, okay, you know, where is Moses? He's delayed. He hasn't gotten here. Make us gods which shall go before us. Here's what they're promising. It wasn't their way. We want God's answer and we want it right now. Well, they were in for a real rocky road, because I got news for you. If they couldn't be patient enough to wait on the commandments, they weren't going to like the commandments either. And man doesn't. You see, the Lord's side is unattractive. It is not man's way. By the way, man's religion is man's way. Man's religion is going to be built the way man thinks. The biggest religion around is secular humanism. Yeah, you hear about what, they don't use those words, but basically, hey, you know, man is the measure of all things. Man's okay. Oh, he makes a boo-boo now and then, but he's really very, basically, man is pretty good. And man, you know, man's going to figure it out. Man is going to plunge into hell. Man is never going to figure it out. Ask my Revelation class, I'll tell you. We have a millennial reign of Jesus on the throne, and during that 1,000 years, the devil is in a bottomless pit, and he's going to do nothing. And what's man going to do? Oh, man's still going to, in their heart, rebel against God. Man hadn't figured anything out. Man needs to understand that the Lord's side, it's unattractive. Isaiah 53, verse 2 says, "There is no beauty that we should desire him." Talking about Jesus. It's unattractive. Do you know Jesus, because of how he came, the Bible says it was a stumbling block to the Jews. Oh, the Messiah. We're looking for the Messiah. We believe the Messiah is coming, and he's going to be our king. And here came Jesus, the king. but he came as a little baby in a manger. And they said, what? Baby? And then he grew up and he was meek and lowly. Where's his crown? Where's his scepter? Where's his rod of iron? And the Jews, that's why they missed it. That's why thousands and thousands and thousands, you talk to a Jew today and you talk about Jesus and they say, oh, he was all right. Oh, all right, he's the Messiah. What are you talking? You were waiting on the Messiah. No, there's no way. Look at Romans 9:33. Romans 9:33. As it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and rock of offense. And whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. You see, Jesus, he's that stumbling block, that stumbling stone. He is that rock of offense. Yeah, unattractive. This is our Messiah? 1 Peter 2, verse 7. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 7. Just a couple of verses to kind of reinforce this. 1 Peter 2 and verse 7 says, unto you therefore which believe he is precious, talking about Jesus, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. You see, the Lord's sight is unattractive because our Savior to the world, he's unattractive. He's, well, wait a minute, where's his rod of iron? And then there he is hanging on a cross. What is he thinking? He can't be the Messiah. He's hanging on a cross. He's been beaten with a cat of nine tails. Blood is everywhere. His skin is in shreds from his body. That's the Messiah. And mockingly, they said, he saved others. Himself he cannot save. Oh, but if he'd saved himself, we would all die and go to hell. But they missed it. It was so unattractive. Oh, folks, listen. There is nothing attractive about the cross. It was my sin that put him there. It was your sin. There's nothing. You know, we've got people, churches all over. Oh, we got to take these songs out of the song. Well, they've gotten rid of the song books. We got to get these songs out of our singing. We can't sing about the blood. That's on it. Blood. Oh, that's nasty. That's nasty. Oh, we got to get rid of that nasty idea, that picture of a beaten Jesus on a cross. Oh, we got to get away from all that stuff. But you have to understand, if it's not for that, we all die and go to hell. Jesus didn't look like a Messiah. He didn't look like what the Jews thought he should look like. He was meek and he was lowly. But that's because he was the Lamb of God to be sacrificed for our sin. And let me tell you, if he is unattractive, then certainly the Lord's side must be unattractive. Look back at Exodus 32 and verse 5. It says, when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it. Before what? Before that calf that he made. And Aaron made proclamation and said, tomorrow is a feast to the Lord. And they rose up early on the morrow and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings. And the people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play. I think it's interesting what Aaron was the first new evangelical. Here he's got a false god. And he said, hey, tomorrow's a feast to the Lord. You're not going to mix the two. God said, what concord hath Christ with Belial? He said, come out from among them and be ye separate. But to try to make it more attractive will include all of this. And the Bible says the people eat, drink, and play. That's what we like, isn't it? Amen. In the world of pick a church, pick a God, pick a belief, pick your nose. It's all about, what about my fun? What about what I like? What about making me feel good when I leave? Let me tell you, I thank God over and over. Please don't miss this. I am so thankful today that when I was a teen boy and I went to church, I thank God that I felt absolutely miserable. And that preacher gave that invitation, and I held on to the back of the pew because I'm telling you, I was so nervous. And he preached on the blood of Jesus Christ and how we were going to die and go to hell without getting saved. And he hollered and stomped and snorted. And I sat there and I might have looked over and said, look at him, you know. But I'm telling you, the whole heart started to race. Got faster and faster and faster. I thought, people are looking. Slow down. There were times I said, cool it. And I thought, well, don't. You'll get it later. That's not very attractive. The old altar call, that's not attractive to our world today. The sawdust trail, that's not attractive. Tears, that's not attractive. But I'm going to tell you something. Without knowing that you're a sinner and you're lost on your way to hell, you won't get saved. Number one, the Lord's sight is unmistakable. Number two, it is unwavering. Number three, it is unattractive. Number four, it's unpopular. It is unpopular. Isaiah 53:3 says about Jesus, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. He's despised, unpopular, rejected of men, unpopular. We are not trying to be popular. We run buses because it's a way of transportation. We provide prizes, quality prizes at Vacation Bible School and in our children's ministry. Quality from far, far away countries like China. Why? Because we love the kids. But why? Because we want them to see what is attractive. But we know we could make it real popular. We can draw crowds. You know, if we had beer church, we'd have a crowd. Our family fun night, we could have served beer. That would have drawn a big crowd. Tim's thinking about it. Let's see if we could have made. We're never going to be popular. His sight is never going to be popular. Not with man. Yeah, churches are trying all kinds of stuff. I mean, you know, go-go dancers. I know they're not called that now. I think it's a praise team now. Oh, boy. You say, boy, that's going to make somebody mad. Good. Because I'm mad. We'll just be mad together. They can be mad at me, and I'll keep being mad at them. You know, what'd Jesus say? He said this in John 15. They hated me without a cause. They hated him. Well, you know, I'm sure they had without a cause. They just hated him. Why? Well, he explained it this way. He said, men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. Don't say that. You'll offend someone. You know, we ought to put a sign out there somewhere that says, expect to be offended. We're going to keep preaching the book. And it offends. It just does. Why does it offend? Because we're sinners. It bugs me. I read it and I think, oh, here I come to that chapter. You ever get there, Brother Matt? Do you ever do that? Oh, I know what's coming. Might as well get right with God now. Right? I know what's coming. Oh, I'm on that chapter. Oh, brother. You know, it's just never going to be popular. Let's quit trying to be popular and just preach the word. Just keep standing for the word of God. The Lord's side? Well, the Lord's side is more than 10 commandments. I'm always amazed at people, well, I keep the Ten Commandments. Oh, really? What are they? Well, if you keep them, you ought to know them. Amen. But there's so many more. You know, the Lord's side, the thou shalt, the thou shalt not, that's called the law. And the Bible says about the law that it's perfect. The law of the Lord is perfect. But we don't like it. You know why? Because we can't keep it. I challenge, I don't care who you are in here, deacons, I challenge you, you can't keep it. Staff, you can't keep it. Pastor, you can't keep it. Hello. Best Christian in the church, you can't keep it. But instead of saying, I don't like it, I'm going to do my own thing, we say, I can't keep it, Father. Forgive me. Forgive me. Save my soul. That's what you do. That's what you do. That's unpopular. That's why the Bible says the way to hell, it's a broad way. Many there be. And the way to heaven, that's a narrow way. Few there be. Unpopular. Number five, it's underestimated. Oh, yeah. Underestimated. All you have to do, seriously, study history. Go back, get your Bible, study your Bible. Bible is history. It is his story. It's accurate in all history. Some of our kids in some of the schools, your history book's not right. I guarantee it's not right, especially if it starts off with anything that says billions and billions of years. Billions and billions of years is period. But the Lord's side has always been underestimated. Here's little Israel. Look at it. Get a map sometime, a world map. And look at little piddly Israel. There they are. Surrounded by people that absolutely hate them and are trying to kill them. Look at World War II. Look at the Holocaust. That really happened. Been written out of a lot of history books because we don't want to offend anyone. Isn't it amazing how history offends people? And all it is if they tell the truth about it, it's just the truth. But anyway, that's another subject. But here's little Israel, all these years under attack constantly. And what do? They just grow, get stronger. Underestimated. Lord's side always has been underestimated. Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, most powerful man in the world. Can you imagine at first when Moses came in to Pharaoh? And Moses came in and he said, let my people go. And Pharaoh, he had to look at him like, who in the world do you think you are? It's like when our dog Scout was still alive. Big German shepherd and a little poodle would come up and go, burr, 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 with their little poof of a poof on their head and their little poofy arms and their little skinny little paws. And you know, when the wind blows a little, they shiver. I don't like sissy dogs. And Scout would, it's like he would look at big German shepherd. He'd just look at him like, what are you thinking? Burr, 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 burr. Little poof. Underestimated. And wow. You know, and then as the plagues came, Pharaoh's mind started to change, didn't it? Can you just imagine Pharaoh? And somehow he still had stupidity in him. As his whole army is chasing God's people and the Red Sea parts. Honestly, Pharaoh, what is your problem, buddy? Well, I'm going to kill them all. Oh, you got the chariots and you have the swords and you have the nuclear weapons and whatever. You got it all. And he rides and drives his army into the midst of the parted Red Sea, chasing them. Kind of like, can you imagine when the water started to, he got wet. And they all drowned. Underestimated. Goliath. Who's this runt? David. Huh? He can't even carry the king's armor. Yeah, Goliath, you know, he changed his tune as a big old stone struck him in the only place it could. The only place it could. His helmet would have been like that, and it went right in that little V. Huh? Don't you love stuff like that? I do. Yeah. The Lord's side's underestimated. False prophets with Elijah. 850 of them versus Elijah. Whose God brought the fire? God. Midianites, Oh, Gideon. Huh. You know, Gideon said, okay, I got 32,000 against hundreds of thousands. God said, yeah, you know, you have too many, Gideon. We need to whittle that down a little bit. Took it down to 300 and they whooped him. Could have taken it down to just Gideon. Could have done it without Gideon. Hello. Zechariah 4 verse 6 says, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. We are more than conquerors. We are. We're underestimated. And again, it's not us. It's greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Don't quit hanging your head, Christian. Quit letting your lower lip droop down to the ground. You might scoop up something nasty. Stand up. Raise your head high. We are children of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords if you're on his side. The Lord's side is undeserved. It is undeserved. It's unmistakable. It's unwavering. It's unattractive. It's unpopular. It's underestimated. But number six, it is undeserved. Go back if you would, and I'm just about done. Verse 26. Moses stood in the gate of the camp, and he said, who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me. And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together unto him. Wait a minute. Doesn't that include who would have been in that group? Anybody know? Name starts with an A. Aaron? Yeah, Aaron. Aaron? Can you see Aaron? Seriously. In my mind, I could just see him. Man, he ran there. Yeah. Well, wait a minute. Aaron was the one that made that calf, wasn't he? Yeah. Yeah, and then he lied about it. He said they threw all this gold in here and a calf jumped out. I love that. You know, come on, Aaron. But that's how we are, isn't it? Yeah. Aaron and many others, all, they came to the Lord's side. Now listen, everybody here that's on the Lord's side, we have to understand one thing and one thing only. We don't deserve it. Well, I'm pretty good. No, you don't deserve it. I don't deserve it. Anyone who is on the Lord's side needs to realize we don't deserve it. We don't deserve it any more than Aaron did, who made the golden calf. At least he realized it was sin. The Bible says, he said, I made them naked, you know, because of their shame. Isn't that interesting? He was backslidden. He realized nakedness was a shame. Hello? Summer's coming. I just thought I'd throw that in. Come back tonight. You'll hear more. But none of us deserve it. Undeserved, unearned, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God. There's never a real reason for pride when you're on the Lord's side. Never. Look what I did. I'm not on the Lord's side. You deserve hell. Look what he did. That's why anytime there's a chance to give a testimony, it ought to just be automatic. It ought to be quick. I am so thankful God saved me. I'm so thankful my sins are forgiven. Glory to God. We ought to always have a testimony. Well, nothing particular happened during the week. How about what's happening right now in your life? If you have eternal life bubbling in your soul. Undeserved. Last thing, number seven. It is unbeatable. Unbeatable. Number one, it's unmistakable, the Lord's side. Number two, it's unwavering. Number three, it's unattractive. Number four, it's unpopular. Number five, it's underestimated. Number six, it's undeserved. But number seven, it's unbeatable. I don't know how many times now I've read all the way through, read the whole book. For the last probably 15 years, I've done it at least once every year, all the way through. Just read it all the way through. We one time as a church, we read through from right over there. Had a little lectern set up. Had the Bible out. Remember that for It was in the month of May, and we started on a Sunday night, and we read straight through 24 hours a day. Somebody was reading the Word of God. We read all the way we started Sunday morning, didn't we? Matt started Sunday after, right after the morning service, and he started reading, I believe it was Matt. Somebody did, anyway. And they started reading, and all the way Sunday night through the evening service, somebody was over there reading the Bible while I was preaching. Boy, I was excited. I loved that. And then somebody came later, and somebody came overnight. Somebody was reading the whole time, read it, kept reading. Wednesday night service, 7 o'clock Wednesday night, we started our church service. We had preaching, and as the service was ending, are you listening? As the service was ending, we all read the end that night. Well, that was exciting, wasn't it? We need to do that again. Amen. We have to get more people that can read. Anyway, I'll tell you, folks, I've read it all. Many of you have read it all. We read the end. We win. His side is unbeatable. So I sing, I'm on the winning side because we win. Elisha and his assistant pastor, these assistant pastors, you got to watch them. They were surrounded by the enemy, and Pastor Elisha, he says, everything's good. You know, it's all good. And the assistant, you know, he panicked, you know, kind of like some do, not ours here. The assistant said, we're surrounded. We're all going to die. And finally, Elisha, he wanted to get a little bit of sleep. He said, Lord, show him. And the Bible says his eyes were opened and he looked out, and everywhere there was enemy, behind them were angels of God. And they had them surrounded. Now, you know, folks, read about the Battle of Armageddon. It isn't even a battle. It's not even a battle. The Lord speaks and it's over. Hey, 1,000-year millennium, man fails again. They organize under the devil when he's let out. They get all organized and they come again. And the Bible says fire from heaven. Done. I'll be honest with you, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess. But before that day, you could come here or you could stay there. You can bow to him and say, I confess, I am a sinner. I deserve hell. I believe you died for me, and I'm asking you to save my soul. That's the time to bow the knee. Today, right now, is the time. And Christian, you need to be challenged with this. Whose side? The Lord's side? We win. Stand up straight. I'm not talking about sinful pride. I'm talking about we win pride. Let's bow our heads, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed.